Our gospel for today is from the book of Luke, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 27th verse. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies.
Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you expect to receive payment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. Instead, love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Today, we're going to eat this gospel elephant just one bite at a time, because this is our golden rule from Luke. A commandment, a big call from Jesus. One author that I read this week suggested we read this passage more as a prayer. Maybe because it's so hard as a commandment, just to ask for a little bit of strength and courage to do these kinds of things that Jesus is calling us to. The other thing I noticed about this is oftentimes we kind of boil this down, this golden rule taken out of context of do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Boiling it down into this bare minimum reciprocation of maybe don't be mean to others so they won't be mean to you, or some kind of low bar of a relationship. And I wonder if Jesus is actually trying to invite us into our celebration of each other, of our relationships, of our honoring and revering of humanity together. To our kids even, we give examples like the don't be mean to them and they won't be mean to you, or treat them as you want to be treated. But how can we reverse that or enhance that into our reverence for each other? Something that takes a little bit more boldness or courage to jump in, initiation into, I would want someone to tell me if there's green stuff in my teeth. And I will do the same for you. Something that puts you out there a little bit more. That's a little bit harder in those small things. So I'm going to actually read this again as a prayer. So I want you to kind of settle in, close your eyes if you need to, just listen to this differently as a prayer. But I'm also going to read a different translation. This is the Message translation. Eugene Peterson wrote the Message translation with a little more pizzazz to it, putting it in a little bit more cultural norm language than some of those translations that were translated directly from the Greek into English. So let's pray. To you who are ready for the truth, I say this, love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you and not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more payback. Live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. If you only love the lovable, do you expect a pat on the back? Run-of-the-mill sinners do that. If you only help those who help you, do you expect a medal? Garden variety sinners do that. If you only give what you hope to get out of it, do you think that's charity? The stingiest of pawnbrokers do that. I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, you'll never regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way our Father lives towards us, generously and graciously, even when we're at our worst. Our Father is kind, so you be kind. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Don't condemn those who are down. That hardness can boomerang. Be easy on people. You'll find life a lot easier. Give away your life. You'll find life given back, but not merely given back, given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. Amen. So I was doing some research into Black History Month, which is February here. And some of the leaders who were committed to nonviolence in their resistance, and, you know, it wasn't a perfect system, I get that, but so this kind of countercultural fight for rights and for a voice in this country, in our American history, in this resistance movement of the 50s and 60s, and how there was so much emotion that went into this human rights campaign and movement, but some of them who wanted to stay nonviolent, who thought that that would be the way through, who pushed with strength and courage into nonviolent progress. Some of the leaders who I was kind of researching were, of course, Martin Luther King Jr., John Lewis, Jesse Jackson, Otis Moss, Vernon Jordan, and one was a pastor and a mystic, Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was kind of described as someone who people would retreat to as this like pillar of strength in his monasticism. So mystics are people of prayer, like monks. And they are known as to be kind of stoic and contemplative people. So he was someone who people would look to in his faith and in his life and in the ways that he wanted to approach this activism movement. He was really interesting to me. I didn't like any of the quotes that I heard from him. So I have a quote from Bishop Tutu about forgiving. Forgiving and being reconciled to our enemies or our loved ones is not about pretending that things are other than they are. It's not about patting one another on the back and turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the hurt, the truth. It could even sometimes make things worse. It is a risky understanding, but in the end, it's worthwhile because in the end, only an honest confrontation with reality can bring real healing. Superficial reconciliation can only bring superficial healing. Forgiving is not forgetting. It's actually remembering. Remembering and not using your right to hit back. It's a second chance for a new beginning. So as I looked at this and this golden rule of Jesus and was going through who Jesus is as a person, talking about being nonviolent, talking about not hitting back, talking about showing kindness and initiative to other people, Jesus was never violent against his disciples, the ones he was trying to teach, the ones who didn't get it when he tried to teach them. The ones who were trying to come after his life. His enemies, which in the end, in a few weeks here, we'll get to that in Lent and Easter. His enemies, the Roman Empire, are trying to kill him. And he doesn't use violence against them. Now, when they come to the garden on Good Friday, Good Friday, they'll come to the garden to try to capture him, and Jesus and his 12 disciples are really no match for the 600 Roman soldiers that show up. So was violence really going to be successful? Probably not. Peter tries this violent act. He takes a sword, cuts off the ear of one of the soldiers. In his emotion, in his anger, in his, we have to protect Jesus at all costs, cuts off an ear. Jesus does not take this as a catalyst for, okay, let's jump on him. Let's get him and start this violent movement for my life. He heals the soldier. He takes the ear and puts it back on him and heals him. Jesus shows emotion in his ministry. He flips tables in the temple when people aren't treating and revering the temple as it should be. When they're trying to sell things in the temple, Jesus flips the tables over. Jesus cries in grief at the death of his friend, feeling these deep emotions, but his emotions don't boil over into violence. His love of enemy is steady, and his trust in God's plan is faithful, and his hope in a joy to come is the stronghold for his ministry. And Jesus went to the cross with love, self-giving, sacrificial, promise-fulfilling love, scared probably, but not hate. Because even on the cross, he gets put up there and he forgives enemies on either side of him. He says, today you will be with me in paradise to these enemies. So here's my last thing that I noticed Jesus saying or not saying in this golden rule passage. He is not saying that you won't have enemies, that the enemies will be all gone. There will be enemies. Roman armies coming for your life? Probably not. But neighbors who don't like how you vote, friends who don't believe in fighting for the oppressed and the poor, family who don't understand or align with your beliefs or your lifestyle, coworkers who don't agree with how you spend your money, people who don't think you raise your kids right. Maybe you look at others and see enemies in ones you don't know, in ones who need some government assistance, in ones who don't have paperwork to be here. You name it. You'll look at people and you will see enemies and call them enemies. And Jesus says to love them. Love them all the way through their enemy-ness. Embody Christ's resilience, forgiveness, and mercy for them. They are just as much deserving of Jesus's love and grace as you are here today. So in a little act, what if you were the one extending that this week? I'm going to end with a blessing for you. For us who feel like love might be a tall task today, may you grace us with just a sprinkle of it, one step at a time. Maybe in an ounce of respect or a little wave, that neighborly closed mouth smile. May our brows unfurrow and our fists unclench when we think of them. Lord, maybe just take one swear word at a time away from my mouth as I talk about them, because love is a tall task today. But you love us fully and mercifully, and don't stop, Lord, because I'm trying my best to follow your lead today. Amen.